gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Why is it time to feel good? Because it's Wednesday.
Steffi. Oh,
what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
The hump days.
Oh, a nation
hump
of...
days with house
yeah.
Spots?
Yes! Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, a nation of women ovulating. I can see it.
Our long semi-German nightmare is almost over. Thanks for
Alex
that.
Alex Barks
wow.
is back from
Hi.
Germany. Yay!
That was women ovulating.
Squee! Squee!
Yeah, I don't know that that's the sound.
I think
quite the opposite, actually. Not that men ovulate.
Right.
But, all right.
See, this is the show people tune to get a break in the war on women. So you can
yes.
join the war on men, where I just objectify you.
Yes. Mm. And I'm this is the one opportunity for rebuttal as I show up and try to give as good as I get in you know, uncertain terms. That's yeah.
All right. So and by the way, a wonderful happy clappy day for you to be here. Oh, look at this. Oh, maybe David Plouffe was right about Democratic hand wringing. The president up 43-40% in the new Bloomberg poll.
Oh, it's only 53%.
It's tightening.
Just yesterday, it was all, the Obama campaign is really on the ropes, and, See, and I said, just wait till Hal gets here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But you know what? That is a national poll, and
it
comes down to
down.
State by state. So
I know.
That's
yeah.
Well, and the Obama administration is doing a great job block by block.
They are.
The strategy is about securing base, making sure they know that they are being served by the person they put in office,
mm-hmm.
and then trying to gather independents and stuff. And it is a base-oriented strategy, which is very smart. And it is the opposite of what Romney is having to run right now, because Romney is now having to chase undecideds. This is his only opportunity. Sorry, I psychically did that with your mic.
Yes, sorry.
I knew you were about to say something.
Thank you, Kreskin. You were going to say something naysaying.
Right.
We will levitate your mic away from you.
My happy clappy powers are more powerful than ever.
Wow. Bob Dole thinks that mic needs some Viagra.
Right.
Hal, you have to teach me some of your mad skills, so every time they get ready to say something naysaying, I just...
It makes their mic... And their mic's just...
Jerk. On the other hand, we...
I can tell Jim was going to say something cynical. No, but Hal, it would drive you crazy, too. I'm sorry. Sometimes the Ed Rendells and the Cory Bookers of the world, I'm like, people, yes, no time for hand-wringing. All hands on deck. It's election season now.
Yeah, that's like the Harvard professor and a couple of the other ones like, this is the perfect time to put the president's feet to the fire.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
We have,
you know what it is? It's the perfect time to get your issue pushed to the back burner.
Yes.
Because you have positioned
it's a national
yourself.
Campaign.
Go to therapy for your daddy issues,
exactly.
Okay? And then John Fugelsang, I'm not sure you're familiar with him.
yeah.
What?
No, we had him on yesterday, and he did the thing that a lot of progressives do. They're like, well, the president told us the networks to hold his feet to the fight. Okay, not now. Not let's go.
Over the course
election
of it. I got into a really lovely discussion about drones yesterday with John on Twitter and sort of the surrounding populace that, you know, once you post something like that or the Greenwalds of the world kind of post this.
Right.
And I kind of made the point, and it was a genuine question. What's your alternative? Because anytime you want a targeted strike, for example, you're going to want a hovering craft. You want a craft that can stop or can fly very low and very close. If that's going to have a person in it, there's a chance that person will die. So as a general, you're always going to opt for a...
Or become a hostage.
Oh, no,
right,
I had to smack down a young Turk. I'm not sure which one. No, it was a
guest. We have a Turk
it
down.
A, guest.
A Turk is down.
They're easy to take. They're really easy to take. They panic very easily.
Yes.
And they get a vein on their
forehead.
Yeah,
you see the whites of their eyes. And then
We love them nonetheless.
Love
we do.
Them.
Yeah.
No,
we do,
it was
but
a guest.
They really need to, like...
No, it was a guest. It was a guest.
It
was a guest on Young Turks. But remember, I said...
They're not Turks then.
I used the phrase lesser of two evils about... You know, about drones, and then, I just thought I'd be able to vote for someone that was not the lesser of John. Like, I didn't say President Obama was the lesser. I said Yeah.
I mean, you know, my argument was even, you know, I think more direct than that. Do you want a soldier in harm's way? Is that what makes a strike okay with you? Because believe me, it's funny that nobody cared about civilian casualties until a drone was doing it. That's the scary part.
Yeah.
You have 12 civilians or even, you know, 15 civilians allegedly killed in a drone strike, and the Young Turks freak out, which there's validity to that conversation, but we're doing strafe bombing during shock and awe.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis just indiscriminately being blown to pieces. And it's kind of like, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. And you're like...
Well, that's what the administration said. There were a lot of people that were saying that was absolutely...
And I was one of them. Yeah. I mean, we were a lot of us were. Yeah. But there was a bit of shrug in the populace. Mm-hmm. I'm glad people are paying attention to civilian deaths. That's key.
Yeah.
However...
Yeah, I mean, it's counterproductive if you kill...
Right.
Yeah. But at the same time,
anyway. Trying to get the bad guys.
All right, so let's not get sidetracked on drones right now. Okay. My point is... but David Plouffe said it on the Sunday shows that he's stopped the hangry... Because, I mean, just the day before, James Carville, the president's strategy is not correct, and blah, 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 you know, and then this poll comes out today, it's like, okay, maybe... I mean, listen, I will be all hands on deck at the top of my lungs for Hillary Clinton. If she runs in 2016, we all got to get, you know, on the same team. Because it just, I swear to God, every day there's a different critique of what the president's not explaining this right. He's not doing it. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm just saying. I know it's one poll, Chris. I know. You're giving me that look like
no,
national
no, no.
Post
I mean, it's
matter.
A great poll. It's a great poll. But, you know, it is a national poll, and elections are won state by state.
Well, here's the other thing is the other guy is the most awkward man in the world.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
He is continuing, Jim, he's pretty much just going to name food products for the next, for the rest of the,
these are pancakes.
Pancakes, and those are chocolatey
this is chicken
goodness,
with
and those
noodles.
Are, oh, cookies
hoagies,
of some sort. Then.
German.
Oh, I'd like I ordered a hoagie. this one, where is this?
I made a pie. Poorly.
Where was he? Someone tweeted, Garrett, from NBC News tweeted, he actually said, this was in Minneapolis. Where was he, Minnesota? Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan.
This was in Michigan. He said, you have a lot of chicken here in Frankenmuth. Chicken and, you know, noodles. Good German food.
Huh?
Huh?
What the hell is he talking about?
No. Well, because Frankenmuth is a German word, ergo, the food must be German, you see.
Oh, I see. Is chicken and noodles a German food?
Well, they eat chicken and
they eat noodles.
As does
it's not like
as does
the
every
signature food of Germany
on the planet
right.
that has poultry available.
Yes,
you know where it's big.
Well, sausage and sauerkraut would be, but I'm like, what
I'm gonna go with noodles and chicken
readily schnitzel.
Available in Asia.
You have.
In fact, the Asians invented noodles.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe Italy.
He literally seems
seems
like he's just never been anywhere.
Right, it's true.
Oh,
maybe he's like
people eat noodles and chicken.
Maybe it's a Mork from Mork thing. Like he's aging backwards, and he's actually very young. And he came here in an egg, and is just amazed by everything. Yeah,
sandwiches,
which is great.
We don't have these on planet.
Trees,
Kolob.
Lakes.
Oh,
just,
see what you did there.
See what you did there.
Yeah, okay. He's like Chauncey Gardner as his running mate.
I like a lot.
Just all projection, because that's all Republicans can do right now. Is just
I've made that analogy. He's like being there, right?
Just project onto Mitt Romney whatever you're thinking, and just convince yourself
Starman, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where's another movie I'm thinking of? John Travolta in what's the movie?
Phenomenon.
Michael. Yes. Yes.
The angel.
The
angel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Slovenly Angel.
This whole segment is just flapping wires.
Now you just can't leave. Okay, that's another movie. All right. And then yesterday we played a thing. I swear to God, it was just Mitch's speech was presidential Scrabble.
Yeah,
he just put together, it was a presidential paella of, he did Shining City on the Hill, and what
just
else was he?
Just a mashup of every presidential speech ever made.
Yep.
Basically.
Yeah, he was just grasping wildly at things that sounded family, military, Shining City on the Hill.
Is
it was like charades. He was running out of time. It was
any chance
Shining City on the Hill.
Is there any chance that Sarah Palin's going to sue him for sniping her MO?
You're stealing my act also, too, in addition.
This is the time that counts upon America, and for us to have a strong military.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down
and have a strong economy and strong families.
Of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the
earth. We're going to have a president who understands the values and the principles that made America strong.
When the early settlers first landed on the barren shores of Massachusetts, They know how to shoot Indians? No.
I will. We will restore America's greatness.
We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
And 1,000 points of light.
America's greatest days are ahead. We're the shining city on a hill.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Uh-huh.
It was like when Schwarzenegger was running for governor out here, and he just, like, he ran out of his good movie catchphrases in the beginning, and then he just was...
So he went to his last action hero. I'll be back.
Down to kindergarten.
Remember that
cop.
One is good. Yeah.
And he had to start, like, stealing other people's because he was out of them. But, you know...
Don't go to Miles because the eyeballs will bulge out of your head.
Get your ass to Miles.
Yeah.
Consider that a divorce.
Remember how? Yeah. Because you know what it was.
The divorce.
You know what
it was. My brother Julius.
Hal, you know this is a comedian. It's like someone gets a big laugh once and they just beat that sucker.
Oh, man. Because
it's his first press conference. I'm here to terminate the deficit.
Get it.
That's right. You will not be back. Great Davis. And then he got a big laugh and then it was like, really? Every press conference we're going to have.
As God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again. Oh, wait, that wasn't in that one.
What?
Frankly, right. Scarlett, they don't give a damn about the deficit.
No.
Frankly, Scarlett, this is me worst.
All right. Yeah, and then...
Say Ferris.
See, we're nostalgic already. Yeah. And then, as we always say, the magical debate of all debates, Arianna Huffington and... I'm not going to say about you,
you don't even stand the kind of...
AOL.
Thank you. Huh? Jim and I are available for kids' birthday parties. They love that.
Yeah.
So here's why I bring that up.
Why?
Because you know what? Hal, you know this. I'm a bitter, childless, elderly, shut-in loser. I pretty much every dream has died, personally and professionally. But every now and again, Chris, what happens?
I thought this was
magic
a new
happens in my
I
life.
I hate later?
No, you know what this is about.
Oh.
Orly Tate's posted about me again.
Oh. Well, there you go.
So yesterday's, I read her yesterday's post on the air. Yeah. Okay, so listen. She said, call Stephanie Miller. Let me finish. Call Stephanie Miller. Let her know. No, let he know. I don't know. She might be a little confused. That respect needs to be earned. See? Apparently.
She's put her time in.
Entitled to the.
Why can't you give her the respect that she's entitled to?
That she'd get from any stranger.
I am dentist.
That from any birther on the street. She deserves zero. This is me. She deserves zero respect for being an Obama lackey instead of a respectable journalist, which I never said I was. A journalist about whatever.
Whatever.
Okay. So then I read that on the show yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And like magic. Who said this? Oh, David said, Steph, Orly Tate's posted about you again. And this one all in caps.
Oh.
Talk show host Stephanie Miller. Reads my post on her show, call her show and demand honesty and integrity from her and an opportunity for me to appear and present the evidence against Obama.
Oh, God, yes.
And how quickly did I send this to you and Rebecca? I'm like, can she come in studio? Could she?
Yes. Love to have her.
Yes. I'm like, now I'm going, I'll take her on the phone, but I want her in studio.
Yeah, I vote for Fridays.
Oh, it's so exciting. That would be a dream, at least one dream that has come true.
Mm.
All right, we can play birth or dating game. I'll see if she wants to kiss, I don't know, Donald Trump or Joe Arpaio more. It'll be really fun.
Oh, God.
If she went to, there's like a lawyer, dentist school combined that she went to.
And real estate.
I have so many questions.
She's a realtor, too, remember.
Who isn't? Okay.
And she is a black belt in Taekwondo, I believe, so she could kick you in the head.
Really? Okay, yes. Maybe not. Maybe on the phone. Maybe on the phone, then. Okay.
She'll put on her Chuck Norris action jeans and kick you in the head.
Yeah, right. They have a little extra diamond of fabric, so they stretch when you bring your legs apart. When you come back together, they chafe and bunch a little.
Okay. 19 minutes after the hour.
I know from experience.
Oh, my goodness. 21 minutes after the hour, right back more Hump Days with Hal Sparks. I'm the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got a number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie. Stephanie.
Don't change your number.
1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, that's right. Hey, look, Mitt, it's chicken and noodles of some sort.
Wow. It's the Mitt Romney special.
Apparently, wow. Frankenmuth, Michigan is famous for two restaurants across the street from each other that have a chicken and noodle rivalry. And so,
Mitt has an advanced man. Look at that. Oh, I...
And he didn't even
Wawa's?
Get it right.
Wawa's here?
He could have gone, you know, he could have, like, doubled down on, you know... I know there's a big chicken and noodle rivalry here, but I think I tried them both, and they're wonderful. I mean,
right.
But he basically went...
You're going to make a local reference.
What did someone say into my brain case?
Here's a good idea. Next time you're telling a little story, is have a point. It makes it so much more interesting.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea.
All right.
Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Will you eat a noodle with me like in the Dalmatian movie?
That's it.
Just before he takes the mask off.
Right, exactly. Before he says, yippee-ki-yay, mother... Now you just can't leave. Okay, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. JR in Miami. Hello, JR.
Flapping wires.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Hello, JR. JR,
hello?
Did I do that wrong? Probably. Hi, JR. Oh, yes. There you are. Hi.
I thought someone had shot him.
Who shot him? Hi, JR.
This is just a dream, though.
Hi. You doing beautiful?
Oh, why, thank you. Are you talking to Hal?
No, Jim.
Oh.
Duh.
Hi, JR. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I always listen to you when I'm not at home. Sometimes I have a little app called TuneIn, and I can get different radio stations across the country. So even if I can't hear it, you know, the regular radio, I hear you over the phone.
Yeah, sure.
And I made
a mistake yesterday. I actually turned on something with conservative talk.
Oh,
yeah.
That's upsetting. Yeah. That's tough. That's hard.
And the funniest thing about it was this guy was on the Imer show. I guess this is his partner or whatever. He was talking to someone. But the main gist of the story was he didn't want Egyptians, you know, to have their own government. He didn't feel like they needed a democracy. And the thing I got from that was, I mean, do they really think that they are God, that they get to pick and choose?
They get to choose who should have democracy. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
In a related story, this just in, Hosni Mubarak, still not quite dead.
Is he mostly dead?
Mostly dead.
I'm just going
in and out
yesterday.
I read that headline. I was
there's
like,
a house on
is he
him,
most sincerely
feet,
dead? Or is he?
I've seen Royce.
Yeah. But he's clinically dead? And
there's
then
a house
like...
on him, but his feet haven't rolled up out of the shoes yet.
Who killed my dictator?
Right.
Was it you?
When the little people come out and announce it, then we'll know he is sincerely dead.
Really, most sincerely.
Now get out of here before someone drops a revolution on you.
How sparked with the tippin and the buzzer.
Thank you.
I was confused by that headline. I was like, it was like being a little pregnant.
Well, I got
I'm like he's a little bit dead. Little bit.
What is he, Russian?
I got like three AP news alerts right in a row on my
he's dead.
iPhone.
No, you know what? He stole second. He's not dead. No, he's just shopping at Walmart. No, he's dead.
He's as Robert De Niro would say. He's a little bit. A little bit.
A little bit dead.
You still got the enthusiasms?
Enthusiasm. Right. Not much.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have turned a lot of gay dudes straight, although that could just be a line that guys use on me because they know how much I love a challenge.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, I forgot to tell you something.
What? Oh?
So, you know how I don't do the, I hate to admit this in front of Hal Sparks, but I don't really do the social media. I don't do the Facebook, the...
Whatever.
Yeah.
The show does.
I do anti-social media.
Jim and I are anti-social media people.
Me.
Yes.
I don't know how many times you can tweet, whatever.
Yeah.
But Jim
and by the way, no, I do not want to join your network on LinkedIn.
I mean, that's
a blanket thing just so I don't have to actually email it back at you. Because sometimes friends actually ask me, too, and I'm like,
No, it's not the friend. It's LinkedIn sending automatic emails.
Yeah, the answer is no.
Yeah.
I'm just, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've never even been, like, tempted. I just don't care.
LinkedIn would like to pretend that this person that you marginally know wants you to join.
Wants me to be something. Anyway, oh, my God. So I got one from, you know, the check out my photos on Facebook, right? someone invites you to right? Yeah. Go in there. Right. I don't know.
It's a trap. Don't fall for it.
Yeah. Except this one, Jim, it's my college boyfriend.
Oh.
And he's actually wearing a cowboy hat kissing a horse. So you know what I'm guessing, Chris? I turned another guy gay that I didn't even realize. Oh. And so I'm dying to actually look and see if I turned, because I turned my high school boyfriend gay, and I'm just curious. I don't know. Could just be a...
I wish I could quit you.
Okay. I'm just, I don't know. So that's the only time I've been tempted to check out someone's photos on Facebook.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe not. Okay. 1-800.
You are, the two of you. You're going to join Facebook just to spy on that guy, aren't you?
Yes.
You're a creeper. That's what we call creepers.
For the record, though, that is what Facebook is now for.
Well,
unless
creepers,
you're using it for business, it's to look up old pictures of, oh, yeah, they really ballooned.
Make yourself feel
wow,
better.
What happened to his face? Like, I mean, that's what most people use it for, sadly enough. I know. I get the emails.
All right. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Dana in Maryland wants to welcome Health Sparks back. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy summer solstice.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Thank
today
you.
At 4:08, I believe.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah.
You too,
to
pagan
first,
goddess.
I wanted to first welcome Hal back.
Thank you.
And see if he would, my son Adam would like a personal hello.
Hi, Adam.
Lab rat fanatic.
Oh, a yes. Lab rat kind of way. I don't know if you mean. I didn't know if you meant that in a queer as folk kind of way or a lab rat kind of way.
I don't know. You know, I don't care what you say. I want him to say hi to me and that I like his show. So his name
awesome.
Is Adam.
Hi, Adam.
Oh, awesome.
How are you?
Thank you.
Thanks
so
for
much.
Watching.
Welcome
You're
back.
Awesome.
Dana, listen, now you know what it's like to be me. I used to having women use me to get to Hell Sparks, and now
exactly.
I have 8-year-olds
exactly.
use me to. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's welcome to the party.
And, so, and by the way, may I just say the look on 8-year-old's face even more sort of awestruck than women's. What was it? Oh, Cooper, my friend's grandson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, I know, and they love him. I just showed him to camp, and he's like, oh, I want to stay and watch Hal. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Aww.
All right.
See, this turns into a kids' show when Hal's here.
Exactly.
Okay.
But welcome back, Hal. We love seeing your
Thank
face.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I did want to mention.
I noticed there was a pause before face.
The immigration thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Toothless teabagger. On one of the shows,
yes.
You know, saying that a 16-year-old is responsible enough
totally.
To say, I'm not going
with
Blake Farenthold.
Yes.
You know, Representative
I mean,
Blake Farenthold.
Yes, Google him.
They're 16 years old, and they're going to be willing to separate from the only family they have because they're responsible enough to stay back. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, especially when the family's having a hard time hearing him over the gunfire.
Exactly. Right. And you know, they're supposed to separate from their family. It's absolutely nauseating.
Mom,
yeah. So,
I think it's a good idea if we stay here.
I'm sorry I can't hear you.
Have your stomach growling.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Most families let the 16-year-olds make the decisions. Mm-hmm. Of course. Okay. By the way, what's his name? Representative what?
Blake Farenthold.
Farenthold.
Taking a look-see at that ever?
Farenthold.
Do a Google image search of him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a good time.
I apologize. Yes, I did use the term hee-haw reject, and I apologize. However.
Just because he has a big gap in his teeth. You could squeeze Alfred Newman through it.
I was a little startled when I saw him on television. Yes.
Look,
Kathy writes, Steph, please remember to be kind to the dentally challenged. Conservative imbeciles are people, too. I apologize.
Maybe only Dance could fix his teeth for him.
I'm sure.
We are helpers. We are helpers. Oh, how awesome would that be? And by awesome, I mean a lot of publicity for me. If I can get Orly Tate to fix that guy's teeth.
They're both conservative nut jobs, so I'm sure
right?
she would.
He's probably a birther.
Yeah, lots to talk about.
He's probably a birther.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh.
Of course he is.
I'm guessing she might be also a lawyer because she's a really bad dentist and a lot of people suit her. So she's thinking it's probably easier to just...
Right-wing dating game.
Oh, that's true. We could get these two together. Maybe we could...
Orly Tate!
Orly Tate, come on down and meet your surprise date.
And it's like Donald Trump, Joe Arpaio, and then that guy.
Hey, it's Orly Tate.
Hey.
Will you stay there, Orly?
Hey, come on over.
I can fix that. Let me finish. I can fix that.
The more you talk about Orly Tate's like this, the less likely it is she's going to become a
Everybody
Just saying.
Okay, all right.
You know, doing my producer thing here.
I think Hal Sparks is right, though. I think when that guy talks, it sounds like a grandpa with a nose whistle.
Yeah.
I like to stir my
Hey, somebody's got a bear stuck in a hole.
That's my favorite. Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
Never mind.
Katie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Katie.
morning, Mama.
Good morning.
So I have a solution, I think, to the rift that's happening with progressives, the happy-clappy and the not-so-excited about right. the don't-say-drones. I think if we can just find a way to fund the bus tour for Mitt Romney, just the bus tour, not the commercials, but just the bus tour long enough for every American to meet him.
Right.
Well, you know what? You know about President Obama.
You know what would be so awesome great for idea. Comedic purposes, Katie, is to also if I could get Shirley Jones to show up on his bus tour. Just right.
Right.
That is so amazing. That's
just,
what I'm just saying.
If I can actually get Mitt Romney to say, it'll all come together.
There is a woman following the bus tour dressed as birth control. I don't know if you've seen that, but she's dressed as a giant pack of birth control pills in the round one a month thing,
wow.
which I think is hilarious, genius, and wonderful. And there's a guy going with a sign that says, we're not ready to have a family, so keep your mitts off her birth control. And
mitts.
And, yeah, get it? And, yeah, so they're following around to get him. But he's not going to take a
yeah,
position.
Yeah, the female legislators that said vagina, and then all the guys, you know.
Totally.
Yeah.
You can't talk about lady parts like that.
Yeah. I'll be on the fainting couch.
Yeah, so then they had all the people were there, Eve Ensler, yes. vagina monologues. It's hilarious.
Yeah, the late show of the puppetry of the penis was canceled for lack right. of discrimination.
Yes.
Yeah, there was not enough people who were against the penis.
People have posted all their own little things online. Yep. It's hilarious. There's what's the woman that does that little song, Hands Off My... It's a word for seafood anyway, but it's funny anyway. She just, there's a thing in the middle where she's like, vagina, 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 vagina. There, I said it. Because it's true. It's, once the minute you say you can't say something, what's in your head? Just
it's
that.
The only word. Just right. that. Absolutely. Yeah. yeah. It's like the worst case of Rosetta Stone ever. Like,
I don't know, every word is vagina. By the way, apparently those characters, the birth control characters that are following Romney around have names. Their names are Bertha Control and Sean Condomy.
Oh,
wow.
Precious. That's all right, fantastic. Andy in Palm Springs. Hi, Andy.
Sean Condomy.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Hi.
I just wanted to mention another little fun fact about Miss Orly Tates is that she managed to get herself listed as a doctor and an attorney and businesswoman on the ballot a couple weeks back. And I don't care about her birth. Pardon me?
And a contraceptive phone.
I don't care about her birth certificate, but I would like to see her medical, law, and dental transcript.
Sure.
Hmm. That's in there all from Kenya. Yeah.
What an idea.
Yeah. Kyle just gave me that look because I said contraceptive foam. I last time I had sex with a man was in a covered wagon, so I just, stuff like IUD, I don't know, stuff from the 70s, I don't even know. Did they make that anymore?
I didn't think they had contraceptive foam in covered wagon days.
No?
I don't think so.
No. Well, right? I mean, they probably did out of some sort of, you know, local plant life.
If there was any foam going on. It's
I think the only contraception back then was a sheet of linen that you just, you know, put over.
No, they would use lambskin. There was also, the one they warned against in the Bible.
Does that breathe? Yeah. Does that breathe well?
No.
Brian and Charlotte, you're
out.
You
don't want
your
condom to breathe too
much. You have to tighten the knot each time.
Hi, Brian. Brian and Charlotte.
Good morning, guys.
Like making a balloon animal with your...
Ow!
Ow, snap.
Talk about puppetry of the people.
What? Brian, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Romney's problem is they haven't updated his firmware for his programming.
That's totally true.
That's what it is. You're right.
You know why? Because he's MIDI. He runs on MIDI. And nobody has the right cables.
Is there an adapter or something?
It's an old piece of machinery.
Yeah.
So they, you know, that's, you know.
He's older than my contraceptive references. That's how old that piece of equipment is.
Floppy disk.
I like the contraceptives around here. Well, I mean, I don't like them, but I like them.
Oh,
thank you very much. You know, some listeners are so special, they have their own jingle.
Oh.
From Ohio, it's the John and Pam Show. It's the John and Pam Show.
Good morning, John and Pam.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
In our local paper and that this morning, there's some good news. From our allies over in London, mm-hmm. that apparently the talk that Obama had with Putin, he did a JFK moment. He made Putin turn the ships that's sending arms to Syria.
Wow.
He made them
around.
Turn the ships around.
That's
and
right.
Back to Russia.
Oh, yeah. Dear. I wonder. I'm sure Rush will give him props for that today.
Totally.
As he always does.
There was actually a ship full of attack helicopters that was headed for Syria.
Yeah.
That was actually for government use. Clearly not. Yeah. So, to give some arms to the rebels to fight.
John, you know
why
that is? Because the president is a badass mother.
Well, that's right.
It was during the meeting.
Yeah.
Ground to a halt. Back up.
Beep. You sunk my battleship.
Beep.
All right, Pam, are you there? Pam?
Yeah, right here she
is. Okay, thanks.
Hi, babies.
Hi, Pam.
How's all my people over there?
We're doing good, Pam.
Loving
spectacular.
You.
Well, I got one thing to say now, and honest to gosh, I'm going to be serious this morning. Mm-hmm. This Mr. Blake
Farenthold.
Farenthold. Representative Farenthold. Yes.
Farenthold?
Yes, Farenthold.
Yes.
Farenthold 451.
Whatever his stupid name is. You know what? Now, he wants 16-year-old kids to make up their own decisions and own minds. Well, now, don't we have enough homeless children on the street?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's up for debate, according to the GOP.
Some people feel there could be more.
Hunger is a great motivator.
If it was left up to Neuter, we'd have had them all janitors in school. They'd have jobs.
There you go. All right. Thank you. Thank you, honey. We've got to run.
I know, sweetheart, and you all have a rest of a good week, and we love you guys.
I love you, John and Pam. Love you, John and Pam.
Aww.
I love them. Yeah, we were, because he was saying that his 16-year-old has a lot of, his daughter, right, has a lot of thoughts, I don't know, which we think are mostly like, oh, my God, Dad, seriously?
Oh, my God.
If you better drop me off at school, do not smile, okay?
Santa.
I don't think that's his daughter in that picture of him wearing the ducky pajamas.
Really?
No.
I don't think that's his daughter.
Okay. Well,
no.
All right. I'm sure she has some thoughts.
She has.
God, really? Seriously? Can we not afford orthodontia? So embarrassing.
When words are even formed at all. Sometimes the worst teen conversations are...
All right. 47 minutes.
Whatever.
I know, right?
Great.
Nothing. Stuff. Whatever.
Shut up.
My dad used to hit me if I said, I don't
know. Yeah, your dad's not embarrassing. My dad's
the
toothless guy on TV.
Crack.
Ugh. Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, the keepers of the funk. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
I mean, you're welcome.
No extra charge for that Hal Sparks hip thrust.
Nope. That's right.
Get your face up in there.
Mm-hmm.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the try it free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Oh, by the way.
What?
Yeah. I found the best use for that yet. Yesterday, my therapist told me she's moving to New York, which, for any of people that know how badly I need therapy.
So.
Anyway, I actually ended up doing an infomercial for GoToMeeting, because we were going to do Skype sessions. And I'm like, please, use GoToMeeting and type Steph Box, won't you?
Oh, God. Wow.
She will. All right.
All right.
I'm having a crisis. I have to go to meeting right now. So this is a code word
so
now.
I can see your horror in crystal quality HD video.
Yeah.
So when did you start to go to meeting your mother?
Jamie in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jamie.
Good morning, team.
Good morning.
Hiya.
Hi. Listen, pardon me. I was looking through Democratic Underground this morning, and there's an article in there from Governor Dean making comments last night.
Uh-huh.
And stating, I am not interested in electing Democrats who behave like Republicans once they're elected. That's how we lost the public option. And I'm just excited to hear him talking like this. We have to get more progressives in line.
You're kidding, right? You're kidding about that actual statement, right? Because that's absurd. We didn't lose the public option because a lot of Democrats acted like Republicans. We lost the public option because 12 Democrats drew a line and said, if it's in there, I won't vote for it, period. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a soft lack of negotiation on Democrats' parts or even the administration's part. It was Ben Nelson, Mary Landrieu, and that whole Blue Dog crowd saying, if it's in there, the whole bill goes down.
Yep.
And it forced everybody in the administration and everybody who was for health care reform to make a choice. You get these 8 or 10 serious major transformations in the American health care system, or you get nothing. And that was...
Well, good day, sir. You get nothing.
Other than that, I have no opinion.
Good day, sir. You get nothing.
Yeah. Jamie, I mean, I've been saying that, too, though. I mean, that's why, you know, we've been saying, get us some Alan Graysons, get us some Elizabeth Warrens. I mean, that's exactly... I mean, he makes a good point. Mm-hmm.
Warren isn't as Indian as she says she is.
Oh, my God. Did you see the Senator Fold? What a weenie. He says he won't debate Warren unless... Ted Kennedy's widow stays silent.
What is that?
How bizarre is that?
Right. You get to set that as a...
Okay, right. Pink pants.
Yeah.
Wow. Noodle backs.
Senator Scott Brown has tentatively agreed to
debate.
How is that
okay with anybody?
First of all, can I just say why he doesn't... Because she's going to wipe the floor with
him.
Senator Brown has tentatively agreed to debate his challenger, Elizabeth Warren, if certain conditions are met.
Did you know that, like,
it's a hostage crisis now.
Let me talk.
No, I think his debate format will actually be like, oh, yeah? And then he'll yank his pants off like a Chippendales dancer. What's this?
He'll still have breakaway pants on.
Everybody. Right.
Yeah, the most notable of his demands is that Vicky Kennedy, Ted Kennedy's widow, refrain from endorsing any candidate in the race. Because they're proposing having it at the Kennedy Institute.
So?
Right.
They're going to
have the last debate.
They have a room there that they can have a debate in.
The other condition is that no cameras from MSNBC be allowed to film at the venue.
Yeah.
The press release requested that former NBC News anchor Tom Brokaw moderate. Yeah, the Kennedy Institute, by the way, this just in has announced Vicky Kennedy is rejecting Brown's conditions. Good. That she not endorse a candidate in the race for her former husband's seat. She said this non-endorsement pledge is unprecedented, is not being required of any other persons or entities. To us, such a pledge seems inappropriate when a non-media sponsor issues a debate invitation. Anyway, they went on to say the debate will be fair, like it was the last time between Martha Coakley and Senator Bolt.
Yeah, but Scott Brown has a...
Senator.
He's a Senator Bolt.
It is fair, but not by Scott Brown's standards.
It's not fair because she's smarter.
Yeah.
Stupid Harvard.
Yeah. Ideas make sense and people like them.
There's not enough chest wax in the world.
My pants break away. All right.
Pack.
Whack. I think you're right. That's all he'll be left with.
Can get a load of my hot daughters, huh?
Yeah.
They're available.
He's a maniac on the floor.
All right. Mittens on the bus
floor. With the 23 million people out of work or underemployed, they're not saying things are just fine.
By the way, guess what? You can get a T-shirt on Mitt's website that says, the official Mitt Romney T-shirt says, we're doing fine. It says, we'll be fine again when Mitt's in office, which implies that we were doing fine. So you mean the Bush economy was fine. Yeah, we'll be fine again.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly.
Go back to the wondrous days of losing 750,000 jobs a month.
Yeah, we'll be fine again when we go back to those policies when Mitt's in office. Then everything will be magic.
Right.
All right. What was I saying? The vice presidential presidential vetting, I guess, baby cried. And so now Marco Rubio is back to being vetted.
Well, he never was.
He was reported yesterday they weren't vetting him, but he's like, ah! So now they're like...
Apparently, they found out that kind of hurt, that announcement kind of hurt him.
It hurt baby's feelings.
No, it hurt amongst the Latino community. And so that's why they had vetting him now.
They were doing so well.
They were never going to vet Marco Rubio because he's too young and he would outshine...
And Alberto Gonzalez says he's
a better speaker than
Romney.
Right.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine.
Happy day. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12 phone number. Hump days with House Sparks continues. Yay! Daddy's home.
Hoorah.
Sexy Liberal Daddy's home. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Next up, L.A. Tickets. Giant Pantages are almost gone. Yeah. I'm telling you what. That's our next show up July 28th. And then what do we have? Columbus, August in Seattle.
That's right.
Yep. September. For those, check it out.
For those of you who can't wait, my band is playing L.A. Monday night at the Viper Room.
Yeah.
Zero One.
Yep. We go on at 10 o'clock. We're also in Vegas on Thursday.
Nice.
Lots of dates, actually, over the next bit or whatever. So follow me on the Twitters. And by the way, we're chatting on there now. Okay. I'm running my chat room on my website and on the Twitter. I've got double iPads firing right now. So
yeah,
get in there.
I kept thinking it was like third floor lingerie. Oh, it's just the iPad bell.
Yeah.
Bing. Boom. Bing. Okay.
Yep.
Next apartment, second floor.
And House Sparks, I was saying they came to my house to shoot for the Sexy Liberal documentary, which will air on Current in fall.
Look at that.
Doing a documentary about the phenomenon that is the Sexy Liberal movement. And by the way, I was like, they interviewed me about you, and I just, even though I see you all the time, I gushed.
Mm. Aw.
I gushed.
He's gushable.
I said, he's yummy. Okay. Uh-oh. Another nice thing. Anyway.
It is true.
Pat in St. Louis wants to know, Steph, I'm wondering about the documentary. If producers have decided what method of your demise will... am I going to get killed like Jim Ward at the end of the film? I don't know. Go ahead, Jim. Do your line in Spider-Man.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, you always put him on the spot. He never said he's ever able to remember.
I don't know. He said, like, who's in the time that I turned to my friend and said, oh, my God, it's Jim. He got blown up.
By the Green Goblin. John Fugelsang and I are actually in negotiations about who gets to play the writer floating in the pool.
Awesome.
For the Sexy Liberal documentary while you're walking down the staircase waiting for your close-up.
Right.
Patrick, I can say anything with my eyes.
Patrick says, will it be boxed wine-induced overdose, killed by mountain lion while jogging, crushed to death by your ginormous dogs during a feeding frenzy, mercury poisoning, or a tragic spinning class accident? Who can say what the ending will be, Patrick?
I would go with 2 and 5. Those are my,
She has her screenplay for Salome.
Right. I think this pod needs to be broader.
I'm still big. It's the radio that got small.
Right. It really did get small. So actually, there's an app.
Max!
It's the apps that got small.
Max!
Wow. Okay. You're comfortable with making jokes that close to home. That shows great confidence, I think.
The other movie I referenced, I don't know how we stumbled into this, but Bronx Tale, Now You Just Can't Leave?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know this movie, Cal?
Of course.
Yes, okay. So that's what we were saying. I was making the analogy, the president, this is his brilliant move on immigration. It's like, look, I asked you, tried to be nice, tried to get you to work with me, click, now you can't leave.
You just can't leave.
Skip says, Steph, I was just listening to a podcast of yesterday's show while fondling myself, watching you on mute.
Mute. Oh.
And I heard you mention this famous scene from one of the great mob films ever, Bronx Tale, and I didn't realize De Niro was in it as well.
Yes.
It was Chaz Palminteri.
A little bit.
He was in it a little bit. Like Hosni Mubarak is a little bit dead.
A little bit dead.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
It's mostly dead. I've seen worse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look who knows so much. Well, okay. It just so happens he's mostly dead.
Okay. Mitt Romney on the bus tour yesterday.
Tennessee, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, Iowa. You've seen governors who've taken some bold action to make sure that we're not spending
more than
we take in. What I've heard in each of those states is
we
could just do in Washington what we're doing at the state level, we could finally solve some of the kinds of problems we're dealing with.
You mean slip into a full-on depression?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like those states. You're arguing almost every state he mentioned, receives more federal dollars than they put out by a major factor, like a quarter at least.
Yep.
And also is doing worse on every possible scale, including employment.
Other than that, how do you enjoy the play?
Oh, except Ohio, which is doing well because of the auto rescue.
Right. Well, Michigan.
Michigan.
But even still, like every other factor, where they keep turning down federal funds or trying to fight it on that, they're behind where they could have been at the very least. And most of the time, like I said, red states, they'll put for every dollar they put into the federal system, they get $1.35 back.
Yeah.
And blue states like California and New York and stuff get like 17 cents back, and then we get blamed for the country's problems.
There you go. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. Before I tell you why I called, I just want you to know originally I'm Sue from the Bronx, and I grew up next to that restaurant, which is the first scene of A Bronx Tale.
Oh, wow.
Where I had my high school graduation dinner.
And as it turned out, you could
leave.
Yeah,
you
can leave.
We just have to leave them a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And not ask any questions. Yeah. You got
as you
it,
do okay. in the Bronx. Yes.
But listen,
you don't tell any tales in the Bronx.
Yeah, listen, I demand honor and integrity for Oily Taint.
Oh, good, yes.
But seriously, have her on and be dead serious and get all the quotes you need why she supports Mitt Romney, you know, and what he's going to do for the country. And then you just send that to the Obama for America team, the DNC, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and you send it to everybody. And we'll have her, just her voice everywhere supporting.
Yes. Look at you cackling.
I'm sorry. It'll be a thing of beauty.
All right. Look at she is cackling evilly.
She complained that we let her finish. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll let her finish. This may be the only show that will finish.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and then follow it, let her go on, and then follow it up with, you know, Mitt Romney's dad was born in Mexico.
Yeah. By the way, so we were talking about the vice presidential vetting on the Romney from the Romney.
Or lack thereof.
Wow, this will add the sizzle he's missing, Jim. Rob Portman and Tim Pawlenty are among the...
Rob Portman, who's I think the winner of the Jimmy Carter look-alike contest.
Oh boy.
And
Portman, they say, is the front runner. Yep. I don't know. Oh, here's something.
If John Denver had lived, what would he look like now? Contest.
A source says Romney's team. The deeper they look into Portman, the more they find more appeal, including he speaks fluent Spanish. So that'll bring back that Hispanic vote. Wowee.
Yo hablo español.
Not the fact that he isn't Hispanic.
No.
The fact that he speaks. Okay.
That'll,
he probably speaks George Bush Spanish.
You know what? That'll flip those numbers, Hal. That'll be 60-something Romney, 30.
I feel better already.
Mitt Romney on the...
I get a kick out of some of the speculation that goes on. I'm not going to comment on the process, of course, but I can tell you this. Only Beth Myers and I know who's being vetted.
I'm not going to comment on the process, but here's how it works. Only Beth Myers and I know, and I can guarantee you that Marco Rubio is being vetted. That's what he said, essentially. He's like,
first of all, this was Rubio yesterday. Yeah.
As I've said repeatedly, I won't discuss the vice presidential process out of respect for Governor Romney. I know he's going to make a great choice, and I'm not discussing the vice president.
Except if it's not me, I'm going to spit on my back in a Walmart parking lot. Why aren't I being vetted? Why aren't I?
And so he complained, and then Mitt Romney came out late yesterday and said,
Marco Rubio is being thoroughly vetted as part of our process.
Wow. Oh, the other thing.
Thanks so much, guys.
I'm not going to talk about it.
Yes, they said they're talking about how there's only two places that leak could have come from.
Right.
And most paths that everybody thinks leads to the Rubio campaign because he wasn't being vetted. As a way to muscle himself into being vetted, which guarantees he's not going to get the spot.
If his book comes out, he may be unvetted again.
Yeah, right.
Marco Rubio, in his new memoir, he reveals he would be willing to cross the border into the U.S. illegally to provide a better life for him and his family.
Uh-oh. Right.
What?
Then he'd be an illegal alien.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I think he just self-deported himself from the vice presidential running list.
Yeah. He just deported off the running list. Many people who come here illegally are doing exactly what we would do if we lived in a country where we couldn't feed our families. Oh, no. He writes in his new book, if my kids went to sleep hungry every night and my country didn't give me an opportunity to feed them, there isn't a law, no matter how restricted, that would prevent me from coming here. He has been exploring the possibility, of course, of introducing a Republican-backed version of the DREAM Act, but announced on Monday that he... that he's not going to now because the president I'm going to be spinning on my back again. Can you believe that? So he's basically said, I'm taking my immigration reform bill and ball and going home because of the president's directive. The senator called Obama's directive welcome news, but said that Obama's dividing even Hispanics against other groups of Hispanics with his order. What? It sets back our efforts to arrive at a balanced and responsible approach to this issue. No, it doesn't. Nah. Only because you're being a tantrumy little, like, why? This is the president's thing was designed to bring people to the table, don't you think, Hal?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Exactly. If he had responsible partners, we wouldn't be here as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times has he tried to get them to the table on immigration reform? And would you like some fun facts?
Well, sure.
All right. 2 years after Senate Republicans defeated the bipartisan DREAM Act by claiming that Congress must secure the borders first. Remember that? No, we can't do anything until we... Yeah. So Senator Rubio floated the idea of this Republican. First of all, you know, on cable TV, talking about something on cable TV is not the same as doing something.
Right.
The president actually did something the other day because, you know...
Because everybody else won't because he's him.
Yeah. he's like the senator from the, you know, green room or something. It's like you get, cable news is not legislating. In unveiling the initiative on Friday, Obama cited Congress's inability to fix our broken immigration system. Republicans accused Obama of politicizing immigration. See what he did there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The party's new... And so basically, Rubio announced he's closing up shop on efforts to tackle the immigration question. I mean, is that a tantrum or not? Is it just the way I'm reading that? He told that
If he's going to do it, then the heck with it, then.
Rubio told the Wall Street Journal Monday he thinks Obama's announcement sets back our efforts, blah, blah. It poisons the well. It leads to mistrust. I'm not doing anything now. The truth is Republicans never seriously considered...
I'm just spinning my back till I get what I want.
By the way, House Judiciary Committee Chairman refused to hold DREAM Act hearing, even if Rubio had introduced a bill and if the Senate approved it. A version of the DREAM Act would have immediately stalled in the House because Representative Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas, said he would not hold a hearing on the DREAM Act, which he called an American nightmare. I mean, Orrin Hatch, remember in 2003, he sponsored the DREAM Act when it was first introduced. But when the Senate voted on a more conservative version of it in 2010, he skipped the vote. And dismissed it as a cynical exercise in political charades by Senate Democrats. Okay. After 41 mostly Republican senators stopped the DREAM Act from passing in 2010, Lindsey Graham claimed Democrats had pushed the DREAM Act to hurt the GOP's reputation among Latinos. No, you know what's hurting Republicans' reputation among Latinos? Republicans! They just think we have no memory at all of what's what. Okay, never mind. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That's a lot of zeros.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yay! It is the yay! Hal Sparks is back. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes. The hour.
Doing the Brad Pitt and Burn After Reading dance.
Okay, yes.
Beautiful. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from any... How precious is Hal Sparks?
Yes.
The most. The most. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Steve in Florida. Hi, Steve. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
This is the first time I've ever called in, but I just had a couple of things I wanted to bring to your attention in case anybody didn't know. Number one, when Bush was in office and was trying to sell Social Security to Wall Street, he made a promise he couldn't fulfill. So what did he do to fund his war? He borrowed $3.42 trillion from Social Security. And second of all, what he did, these veterans that are coming home from the war zones, they were getting enlistment bonuses like $50,000 and $60,000. And then when they got hit, lost a limb or something like that, he cut them off for failure to fulfill their contract. Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I can, as a matter of fact.
Sadly enough, no one would be shocked to find out that that was their attitude towards veterans, because they basically sold this entire thing on love and support of the troops and then did nothing but send them into harm's way and not give them the resources when they came back.
Absolutely necessary, which is breaking our number one promise that, you know, that we should make to the troops.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Oh, gosh. As it turns out, you know, they accused the president of playing politics on the immigration thing. It turns out it's really good politics. A new Bloomberg poll shows 64% of likely voters agree with the president's decision, 30% disagree, including 66% of independents.
Wow.
David Plouffe, the White House senior advisor.
The president can't change the law on his own. This is not a permanent fix. This was prosecutorial discretion announced by the Department of Homeland Security, not a change in the law.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty simple. Yeah. I mean, you got limited resources. You got to prioritize something. It's really stupid to chase down stuff that's a waste of time.
Right.
By the way, states are doing it all
saying,
over the place.
Evangelical leader Richard Land made the case the best. He said it's not amnesty because they didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Right.
You know, anyway.
And the far right was screaming that, you know,
Obama born wrong.
Obama was exerting executive privilege. He did no such thing. This wasn't a change in the law. This was a change in the policy of the Immigration Service.
Right. They're stacking this up with his, not defending DOMA and those kind of things. And they're trying to paint this meme that as president, he's not doing his main thing, which is he has to enforce the laws of the country as they are, not as he would like them to be, that idea, which is just garbage because they throw stuff out.
Laws change all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Senator Mitch McLiplis.
I don't think that's an irrelevant thing to discuss. I mean, did he have the authority to do what he did?
Yes.
He did. Yes. He's the president. Yeah.
Notice he didn't say he doesn't have the authority to do it. He said, I don't think it's, you shouldn't discuss it. That's because he knows the discussion is a useful political tool, but the answer is not.
He's throwing chum in the water for the far right.
Totally. It's all chum. There's no, his real answer is, yes, it's completely legal. It's something within his discretion in the executive branch. But
wrong because it made Marco Rubio get his panties in a twist.
Although he may find it more convenient because it's an election year, you can't just circumvent Congress and invent a new process for yourself.
Hang on for one second. This whole idea, and Mitt Romney's been pushing this garbage for the last 3 days, is the idea that the president, I'm going to look at a long-term solution, and the president just did this quick fix, and he's not supposed to do it. Well, look, to the kids who are in danger of being deported between now and when you get off your ass, this is crucial. This is the difference between never seeing their family again, potentially. Yeah.
When you get off your ass for Republicans is when hell freezes over.
The Emancipation Proclamation was a temporary fix until the 13th Amendment was ratified.
John Boehner criticized the Obama administration's immigration directive, having apparently forgotten he quashed nearly all hope of getting the Dream Act through Congress this year. It puts everyone in a difficult position, Boehner complained, arguing the administration's move made reaching a bipartisan legislative solution more difficult, as if that was ever possible.
Right. They were so
Weeks ago, he admitted that enacting a dreamlike legislation would be nearly impossible in this Congress. This was back in April. He said the problem with the issue is we're operating in a very hostile political environment to deal with a very difficult issue like this. I think it would be difficult at best.
Well,
he knows he couldn't get it through his crazy Tea Party caucus.
This is a guy who is sitting in the saddle facing the wrong way on a horse he doesn't know.
On a horse with no name.
Exactly. Yeah. While everybody else is yelling for a posse to chase down somebody that doesn't actually exist. And he's just like, I'll get him! Hood! What?
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stupid man.
Stephanie Miller.
Please do not tell me I was your mental porn. That's just sad.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. My mental porn. Hal Sparks is here. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, a lot of people have Googled Representative Blake Fahrenholt.
Mm-hmm.
Who we spoke of earlier. John writes, Steph, wow. The first thing that came to mind was Flounder from Animal House.
Yep.
Yes.
Cracked, dumb, and toothless. There's no way to go through life.
No.
So.
Toothless and teabaggy is no way to go through life, son.
My love, a cherry that had no stuff.
See, out here in Hollywood, if we made a movie and cast him as a teabagger, they would accuse us of stereotyping.
Yes.
And I'm just saying, when I saw him on the TV, I'm like, okay.
He's
your guy.
Your spokesman.
Okay.
You go with that.
Von Seal in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Von Seal.
Good morning, everybody.
Bonjour.
I am calling as a native Texan and the oldest person who listens to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
Restore the good name of Fahrenthold.
Okay.
Because Blake Fahrenthold's step-grandmother, Sissy Fahrenthold, ran for governor unsuccessfully in the early 70s in Texas.
Uh-huh.
She was in the U.S. Congress, and I'm sorry, she was in the she was a state representative. I'm sorry. Ran for governor unsuccessfully and was second in balloting for the vice presidential slot in 1972.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, granted, the
after
nominee
the
was
first
McGovern,
one,
kind of a disaster for the party.
Right.
But she is a serious, she's still alive, she's a serious advocate of women's rights, human rights. She is like, seems to me, the diametric opposite of her step-grandson. And I think the more we get that word out,
wow,
maybe the more likely it would be that he would be defeated in
awesome.
His next election. So look her up. She is a person worthy of our admiration. She is a good liberal Democrat.
And he has spent his entire life trying to erase any good she may have done.
It seems to me that he's just kind of one of those rich guys who probably at 16
never missed a meal,
you know, couldn't find his way out of his giant home that he lived in or whatever.
Yeah.
Because
all right.
It just, you know, he's a sign of this rather prominent family, and her family was also prominent. The
thank
law
you for
library
that.
At the University of Texas is named for her father.
Oh, wow.
Thank you for that random Texas fun fact, Monsieur.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's so few of them these days.
Appreciate that. All right. Thank you, honey. Hal, at the Austin Sexy Liberal Show, there was a random Texas fun fact that we did not know. There was a substance that protects people that live in Austin from...
Oh, yeah, Austinite. Yeah. It's actually, it creates a dome around the city that keeps the other Texans out.
Right, the stupid
keeps,
out.
It keeps the weird in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. And they walk up and they're like, maybe we should see what's going on here, man. They got live music. And who cares if I've got a gun that has a Bible verse on it that I want to shoot strangers I've never met with. Hey, wait a minute. Why can't I go in...
I can't even shoot through it.
This won't even...
It's Austinite.
It's so weird. Oh, Austinite.
It's like carbonite, but
you
for
get trapped, Austin. Yeah. You get trapped like Zod, you know, in a mirror flipping away from the earth.
You Austinite?
Kneel right. before me, son of Jor-El.
Oh, I forgot. I coined a new phrase by accident yesterday. A new word. I know. Because Mitt Romney didn't know what tax loopholes he wanted to close,
and
I called him a tax hole. But I think people who don't pay their fair share are tax holes.
That's right. I like that.
Thank you. See?
By the way...
Accidental brilliance. It's not on purpose like Hal Sparks.
Mine
happens by misspeaking.
he actually said that Simpson Bowles was an example that you could follow. And Simpson Bowles eliminates all of them. Charitable tax donations, your home in... interest deduction, just everything that normal people would use. You know what's great, though?
$77,000 deduction for the dressage horse?
Yes.
Since when do you get to deduct hobbies?
Why are my tax dollars going to fund that hobby of theirs?
I don't understand
Because
you're
expendable.
It's an LLC, somebody said, I don't know.
No. Well, of course it is.
All right, speaking of guns, President Obama...
He's incorporated. He's two people.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney is like seven people. He's got all these incorporations. I'm two people.
President Obama has granted an 11th-hour request by Attorney General Eric Holder to exert executive privilege over Fast and Furious documents.
Mm-hmm.
A last-minute maneuver that appears unlikely to hold off a contempt vote against Eric Holder. This is such a load of crap. Have you been paying attention?
Of course.
To this?
It's just ridiculous. Here's the problem is, and this is the biggest problem
it's
for Republicans.
It's to embarrass the administration.
Working. It is a program that started under the Bush administration. It carried over into the Obama administration. And all it does, ironically enough, is bolster the Obama administration with a certain wing of the party, which just sounds like they're being tough on drug crime. Because that's ultimately what they were trying to do. Even a failed policy is an attempt at being tough on crime. Guys don't care. I mean, you got Rick Perry saying he doesn't care if he executes an innocent man.
Yeah.
And they think, well, that makes you look tough. What's Obama ultimately accused of with Eric Holder? Putting more guns on the street? That's all these guys want. Literally, there are members of the GOP that thought...
Right.
A truckload of guns in the middle of a highway in every state.
It started under the Bush administration.
Yeah.
They were asking for documents they knew they couldn't produce. This is just an attempt to embarrass the administration.
Carol Issa is a former car thief.
Exactly.
Should not be in that position of power.
All right. I don't want to give all the press, dummy right-wing teabaggy congressman press to Blake Farenthold today when Joe the Plumber has some thoughts.
Oh, well.
Have you seen this ad? Republican Ohio congressional candidate Joe the Plumber. Oh, dear God. Released a campaign video on Tuesday in which he warns that gun control led to the Holocaust. Okay.
Oh my God.
If everybody who was rounded up by the Nazis had had a gun, it wouldn't have happened.
Sure.
Right.
He is talking as he's placing shells in a 12-gauge shotgun. And he says, in 1939, Germany established gun control. From 1939 to 1945, 6 million Jews and 7 million others, unable to defend themselves, were exterminated. Wurzelbacher then takes aim and blasts various fruits with his shotgun and says, I love America. That's the ad.
America, where you can kill fruit at a whim. America, and you'll never be rounded up by watermelons and cherries.
There could only be one.
Oranges and bags of fruit will never take me to a camp and kill me.
There could only be one better ending to that ad.
Oh, son of a bitch! I just need to get myself.
Diane in New York on Teabaggers. Hello, Diane.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm calling because I noticed back in 2010, where we live in New York, that all the Republicans started calling liberals and Democrats Nazis and everything.
Wow.
And they started with our local elections, you know, with the Tea Party people. I feel the Tea Party was just a diversion then to take votes away from the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also that they used the Occupy movement for the same thing.
Oh.
And I also feel this is all happening because of the oil and gas industry, because they are trying to drill in New York and everywhere they can, not being regulated. That is the number one thing they fear. And so they have to divert everybody away from all that with all this other BS that they go on about. Immigration,
everything else. Well, Koch Brothers, it's all about oil and gas. You're right on that.
And the transportation bill is being held up because of this insistence on the Keystone pipeline being added to it.
Yeah. By the way, we don't get that oil.
Right. That oil, that's
going directly
that's just
to other
multinational
companies.
Corporations yeah. being yeah. able to ship oil out of the country. We don't have nationalized oil.
It's benefiting Canada. Canada wants to know, can we send this pipeline
right.
through you,
so
your country, so we can sell our oil?
To other people, not you. Because
yeah.
right now, you're the best buyer for it because you can get it cheaper because it has to be shipped a shorter distance via trucks and other...
You just happen to be in the way between us and the Gulf of Mexico.
This is not our oil. The oil under our feet is not our oil.
Meanwhile, Mitt Romney says, I have to build it myself. I'm going to build that keys. It's like, oh, please.
Drill, baby, drill. So
you
the Saudis
so
can...
pathetic when you act butch.
Yeah. Oh.
Let's go to Rick in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Just a little point before my main point, the Keystone Pipeline, if you do a little research on it, they wanted to send that right over the largest fresh well water supply in the United
aquifer.
States. You know that, right?
Which state is it that already said, no thanks, not
and
over
three,
our water supply?
And three faults.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Getting to my main point, though, I watch Imus in the morning. I saw you originally way back on MSNBC when he got canned and you were one of the substitute hosts. That was a great show.
Thank you.
Wow, I was hoping you'd get your own TV show, and here you are.
Then here I am. Look at that.
But anyway.
And 70% less sweaty.
And we're not in Secaucus.
And 100% more ball caps.
What are we going to do with these three blondes at at Fox, Ann Coulter, Laura Ingraham, and this Crowley? She just came out with a book that says, What the Bleep Happened to America?
Yeah.
She was on this morning shooting her wazoo off to Imus, who I watched before you come on at 8, you know?
Yeah, well, and I guess the answer would be too many bimbos like you on Fox News. That's what the... happened to America.
And you know what? You should watch Bill Press, because then you won't get any Monica Crowley polluting your television.
Don't get Monica Crowley in your breakfast. Have Bill Press instead.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Marla in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I just want to say, if Mitt Romney's lips are moving, it's a lie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They are all Republican scumbags.
Oh, my. Oh, dear.
I mean, they are. Everything they say is just not true.
Right. Well, and that's, at this point, there is no reason for him to try to make any news. He thinks that he's going to win independence within 6 weeks of the election. This is their 100% goal. So he's saying nothing and everything at the same time to anybody who will listen, just to keep you happy so that hopefully you will dislike Obama and go for him. That's his whole plan.
Yesterday, how he literally has not taken a position really on anything. If you go through like 7 or 8 major issues, he just
but he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, he's not. They're not running on any solutions. They have no solutions. So if he starts bringing up solutions, people will go, well, that won't work, and that won't work, and we've tried that, and that was stupid. This guy, I mean, he's running on the concept of austerity and tax breaks for the rich. That's what they're gonna do, but they can't say that because it's terrible for the country.
Yep.
So, but it's great for their friends. So they have to keep quiet and pretend that's not what they're gonna do, or deflect the issue and just say America speak. That's why his Franken sentence is all over the place, where he's just kind of like, America, it's a fine. These are places and noodles and chicken.
Four
and
scorn.
Look at you with your
four
and she's ten
and tall lakes.
Four
and,
score and seven shining cities on the hill.
Oh, and America will be American again.
Yes.
You know, like, what are you talking
these
about?
These are inland pancakes.
It's all going to get scrambled by the end. Everything
it's
mixed
like
together.
Some sort of MKUltra buzzword experiment.
Yeah. 46 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Why, Miss Sakamoto, you're beautiful. My girlfriend and I went out with a girl named Kim Sakamoto for years.
Oh, wow.
And so I used to say that to her all the time in that voice.
I'm sure she appreciated it.
Why, Miss Sakamoto, you're beautiful.
And I bet she was.
Just as funny the 100th time as
it was. She loved it.
Oh, wow.
And it's still true. Bless her heart.
Aw.
1-800-STEP-12.
Still a dear friend.
Aw, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Let's do a quick one before Right Wing World. Pat in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie.
Hi, Pat.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller, and I just have to say this. I'm just biting at the chip on this. Why does Romney only go on Fox and stupid Hannity ask him these stupid, simple questions?
Yes.
You're kidding,
nobody,
right?
Softballs.
You're kidding, right?
You this idiot. You know, he says, I can create jobs. Well, what happened in Massachusetts, brother man? You got it from 47. So nobody challenges him on his record. So he goes to these made up crowds. He's walking around like he got a stick stuck up his hoo-hoo. You know, he's got that stupid grin. And then his wife is right behind him. You know, I mean.
All right, Pat. You got that all out now? There you go.
There
you go. Everybody settle.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you
that's
know.
Why you go on Fox News.
But that's exactly
it's
it.
Like, it's like Republicans interviewing Jamie Dimon. How can we help us? Help us help you.
Yes.
Please.
How would you like us to write the regulations?
How many times has the president actually done the Fox interview? What, 4 times? The big, like, sit-down, either with Chris Wallace or somebody else. He hasn't done Hannity, but he's done Chris Wallace a couple of times, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many times has Mitt Romney been on MSNBC? Or done a sit-down interview at CNN.
And how many times did
he did Romney last night, by the way.
He did.
Romney did Hannity last night, by the way.
Yeah, it was
Romney. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But when has he done MSNBC or CNN?
He hasn't.
As
he
a sit-down.
No, and what it was, who was it, O'Reilly? Didn't they count how many times he interrupted the president during the last interview he did on Fox? I mean, incredible.
That was the Super Bowl interview. Remember that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hal, speaking of which, this doofus from the Daily Caller who heckled the president in the middle of his statement in the Rose Garden before he was finished.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Christopher at Mediaite writes a great piece about it. He said, first and foremost, Neil Monroe is a liar. No White House reporter believes that Monroe thought the president was finished speaking 4 minutes into his remarks. And that cowardly attempt to save his day pass doesn't explain his subsequent interruptions. The stunt was obviously premeditated and probably sanctioned, if not thought up, by Tucker Carlson, who was proud of Monroe, who for soiling himself in the Rose Garden. And I was saying the right-wing talking point that went out was, oh, they yelled questions at Reagan. Yeah, when he was finished.
Yeah.
They keep bringing up, you know, Monroe and Carlson tried to hide behind Sam Donaldson's shouting of questions at Ronald Reagan to justify this. Reporters frequently yell questions at the president following his remarks.
Yes.
They do it to Obama, too. But that's not what did
to
you
be
see
heard
this?
Over right. other reporters doing it. You very seldom are you shouting because you're the only person talking other than the president.
And you know he's done talking because he opens it up to questions after he's finished.
The other thing too is that this was not a question. This was a shot
heckle.
Of a shot of hyperbole. Why do you care more about illegals than you do about American citizens? Yeah. That's not a question.
Where's the birth certificate?
Right. Yeah.
Media.
He's a goon for Tucker Carlson who is irrelevant. Stupid and belabors his existence through the daily
Tommy Christopher
crap or whatever.
Media, makes a great larger point. He said if we all just decided to yell out a question, whether we felt strongly about it, the president would never get through a single set of remarks, as evidenced by the press conference free-for-alls that Monroe cites in his defense. This isn't just a White House protocol; it's part of being a professional reporter. See how long you'd stay on the Romney bus doing that. If you want to be some kind of heckling ambush reporter, that's fine. Then you need to find your own way to get it within earshot of the president. Good luck with that. Monroe doesn't have a hard pass to revoke, but the White House needs to sanction him in some way that would at least a lengthy suspension. Not to do so risks turning every presidential announcement into a chaotic, inaudible mess and insults all the reporters who abide
by
this minimal standard. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is their plan until they get their guy in office.
This guy's even less legitimate than Jeff Gannon.
Right.
I wonder if he's there on Jeff Gannon's press pass.
That could be.
I don't know.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what it's doing, shall we? Yeah, here we go. Rush Limbaugh.
How do you even manage an immigration policy like this that Obama has announced? The Democrats always hide behind children when they are attacking the Constitution, when they're attacking the rule of law. They're like hostage takers in a way.
Right. That's they're taking children
hostage.
We're the
ones, yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're taking these kids hostage who would otherwise be deported.
Yes, and separated
from
their family.
While waiting for Romney to dislodge his thumb from his rectum.
Yeah, that's the cowardly
thing. And actually do something. But that's who's holding them hostage. The Obama administration, I'm guessing, if you want to use a hostage analogy, it's the Obama administration who's bringing pizza to the hostages so they don't starve to death while they're waiting to be allowed out of
all right, Sean Hannity on the Fast and Furious.
The media today, their whole focus is on, who's the vice presidential. Here we've got our own government providing guns that are killing border agents. Here we've got leaks, national security leaks at a very high level coming from within the White House. Had to be.
What? Excuse me?
Which we know. Here we have a national debt
operating
under Obama.
Really?
And the minutiae that they want to focus on is pretty frustrating to me.
Wow. That would you say we just slid that in there? Information that he absolutely knows nothing about. It came from the White House, has to be. Just saying. Anyway. What?
The president's a murderer. But anyway, going on.
Is he trying to do a Dukakis moment?
The reporters that wrote the story said it didn't come from the White House.
Right.
God.
All right.
And there's still guys left over, by the way, in the halls of government from the Bush administration, friendly to Dick Cheney, who have been a problem in the Pentagon on a lot of fronts.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to believe that there aren't people in the DEA of the same level. So that's absurd.
Let me get Tucker Carlson in here quickly defending the doofus reporter we just talked about. Tucker Carlson. On Hannity.
A reporter's job is to find out what's happening. It's to find out what your government is doing. It's to ask questions of politicians, and almost no politician wants to answer those questions.
See, but I thought the timing was off.
It's an etiquette question, but it's not the core question. The core question is the White House press corps holding the president accountable for his policies and getting answers to the questions the public wants? And Neil Monroe is.
I'm sorry.
No,
that's not the larger point. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
He interrupted the president.
You know, the seven's voice gets higher when he's trying to defend something that he knows is wrong.
Here's an idea. Just while the president is actually telling you what his policy is, don't interrupt him and say he's not telling you what his policy is. Because you're the reason you're not hearing what his policy is.
Yep. Paul Katami and Jeff Zarillo, the Prop 8 plaintiffs. Going to talk about that awesome piece that one of their dads wrote in the New York Times on Sunday for Father's Day as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there like Ted in Sunrise, California did. Steph, so glad the show is on Current in South Florida. We currently have no progressive voices. That's right, because there's no market for that kind of thing. Except we sold out Sexy Liberal in like 2 minutes at the Carpet Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale. But other than that, there's no market for that there. I'm on disability retirement and watch every day along with my dog, Jazzy, a 7-year-old soft-coated Wheaton Terrier. I've attached a picture of Jazzy. Look at Jazzy! Oh, Jazzy's a good guy!
My Jazz is a boy.
I know it.
Okay.
Jazz paws. Spirit paws.
Yes.
All right. And also, somebody, this was very nice on Father's Day, someone emailed me. My dad was just inducted into the Hall of Fame, the greatest American Catholic politicians.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leading American Catholic editors, authors, Washington leaders, etc. There he is, fine American William E. Miller, U.S. Congressman and first Catholic on a GOP national ticket in 1964 and party chairman. The World War II hero was one of the best political minds and most effective orators of his day. So there, that's where I get my speaking ability.
Your irritationness.
That's how...
Oh, dear. I didn't...
Your disparagement.
My emphasis on the wrong syllables. Yeah. I obviously did not inherit my father's oratorical skills.
I learned talk good.
But you said oratorical correctly.
Right?
And for that, I thank you.
Thank you. I applaud myself.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So in the New York Times on Sunday, I was reading in, A Father, A Son, and a Fighting Chance, written by Dominic Zirillo, who is Jeff Zirillo's dad. Jeff Zirillo and Paul Katami are two of the plaintiffs in the Prop 8 case.
Mm-hmm.
Along with our friends Chris Perry and Sandy Steer, and they, okay, I got to see if I can do this right.
Okay, good luck.
All right, good luck to me. They join us now. Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Jeff, did this make you cry? It made me cry.
I think it's made a lot of people cry. That's been the reaction across the board. Yeah, it's a great message, and I think it resonates with any parent, and especially for his generation. That's an important generation to us and people that we'd like to reach. And we've learned through this whole process that it's our stories and the stories of our community that as we continue to tell them, we change hearts and we change minds.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And the one thing we learned about you, first of all, is you're a very picky eater, always have been. Very finicky, like a little kitty.
I think Paul would say something about that. I think he'd agree.
Well, Paul, this is what was so touching is, you know, so Jeff's dad obviously talked about how he used to finish his food for him because he didn't eat very much. And so he saw you doing that at one meal they had together and realized that you loved him, you know, just as much.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't even know that moment had happened for him until I read the piece as well. And it also made, you know, me well up in tears. I was like, wow, I didn't even know that. And I was, like, worried it made me sound like I'd be, like, you know, 500 pounds as well.
I was going to say, I remember meeting you, and you're in pretty good shape for eating all of Jeff's food.
You know, Jeff eats pretty well now. We've gotten him a good place. But, yes, the great thing about Jeff is he always orders something that he knows I want to eat but won't eat and always saves me the last bite. It's awesome.
I'm telling you. I love the part about when you finally came out to them. He says, finally he sat us down and said he had something to tell us. We told him we already knew and we really liked Paul and we were happy for him.
it wasn't a big deal, you know.
Yeah.
And I think you know, when you're gay and you've been internalizing those thoughts your entire life and only talking to one person, yourself, you always wonder, because you hear horror stories about other individuals who come out and have different reactions than my parents. So it was such a relief to have that reaction from them, because I think most people will say, you know, once your parents know, you feel so much better. I mean, you really do.
Yeah, well, you know, and your dad, again, writes so touchingly here about obviously one of the worst days of my son's life was when, you know, Prop 8 passed.
Mm-hmm.
And you said I wondered if Jeff and Paul would move from the place they loved and called home for so long. They didn't, though, nor did they accept the new law or try to blend in, as I told Jeff to do all those years ago. Instead, they did something that made me as proud as I've ever been. They fought back. Where do you think we are in the fight so far? I mean, do you feel positive about a potential Supreme Court ruling?
I think so. I, when you listen to our lawyers and you listen to the, you know, all the people in our foundation, they really believe that if any case is going to get there, it should be this case. We have a very full record with two great attorneys and a great support system, and we're 3-0. You know, you want to go to the Supreme Court with a 3-0 record. You don't want to be the ones going there 0-3.
You know, I just I was talking to our good friend Michelle Reiner the other day, and she was saying, I'm going on a bike trip next week. I'm a big bicyclist, and she said, oh, my God, Ted Olson and David Boies do those trips all the time, and they're in their 70s. And I said, well, we'll all go on a bike trip to celebrate when we win at the Supreme Court. But, I mean, they really have been just the most eloquent spokesman for this case, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, they've been so good and so good to us. We know that the heart's in the right place, but we know that the law is in the right place as well, and that's why they're so adamant about this case. They're not just allies. They don't just understand, you know, what damage is done daily by being prohibited from federal rights and state rights. They know that we're real people. They've met us. They've hung out with us. We've had dinner with them. So they understand, you know, that daily damage that we incur by being prohibited. And so they've been really, you know, good friends and great attorneys to just reiterate that the law protects all Americans.
Well,
that's it.
And it is nonpartisan. It is human. I've got to just read the end of this piece that your dad wrote. As Father's Day approached, all I could think about was how much I want my son to experience the joys of being a father, how much I want him to marry the person he loves and raise a family. For now, he's still waiting and fighting. I see how much the struggle costs him, how discouraging it is that despite his strength and patience and faith in the system, the ultimate decision rests in the hands of those who have yet to act. One day soon, though, the powers that be are going to do the right thing. I'm his father, and it's Father's Day, so let me believe it. One day soon, they're going to let my brave, beautiful boy walk the same path we all get to take home. Oh, see, I'm crying again reading it. Did you cry when you read this? Did you know he was writing it? When did you find out about this?
I knew he was writing it. I knew that they had wanted to see if we could get into Modern Love because it has such a broad base of readers. I actually learned things, and there were things that I didn't know. I never knew he actually went to the leader of the bully's house. I mean, I knew he had gotten involved and helped me out at school with it, but I didn't know he went to the house, and I didn't know he had dinner with a couple where that had happened. I didn't know either one of those things, and I couldn't wait to get the details when I talked to him.
Yeah, it's Chris. We pop up a link.
Yep.
It's
yes,
on StephanieMiller.com. A father, a son, and a fighting chance. So what do you think? You know, it's interesting. I mean, this patchwork that they've created legally, too. I mean, obviously, I have friends in New York who, you know, we just had Shelley Wright on last week who was able to get married. And it really does create this, in California, it's like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Which is why I really think, it has to be a nationwide thing. You know, I think this is, in a way, this second class of citizens we created in California is one of the big reasons, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you hit on a point that I say all the time is that, you know, your state's boundaries should not have boundaries and rights as well. I mean, you shouldn't have to feel like you have to move from a state to another to gain rights, and you shouldn't have to feel like you'll lose rights by living in a state that you've lived in, you know, bought a home and paid taxes and want to be married in. We firmly believe that. And we firmly believe that when you put it into that perspective, take it out of the realm of any other, you know, moral or religious issue, and you say this is an issue of rights. It's really specifically about human rights. People start to come around and start to understand that even though you might come from a perspective, you meet in the middle.
Well, you know, and it's interesting to me. I know I have good friends here. I have one male couple and one female couple that are married. They're, you know, the couples that were married. And it is just an odd thing to sit at a table with someone you're friends with. They're married, and you can't, but I can't be. In my case, it's fictional because I'm a loser. But my point is, it's somebody said to me the other day, they're like, with your decisions lately, you're lucky that it isn't legal yet. But assuming we can find somebody that will marry me.
Well, I find that hard to believe. That you and you're pretty fantastic. So.
Aww. Well, you know, I think, like I say, I'm feeling very positive about it too. The more I talk to, when I talk to, you know, the Reiners, or we have Ted Boutros on, or whatever, I think that you know, I'm feeling more and more confident as we move toward the Supreme Court. I just hope that it's soon.
You can't help but feel that way. There's so much momentum, but we do, you know, we do have an election coming up. It's important that we reelect Barack Obama. It's important that the four ballot initiatives go our way. You know, we do not, you know, the polls always tell us one thing, but then when they get to the ballot box, we end up with a different result. So we really need to continue to keep the pressure on not just our legislators, but keep telling our stories, because when we tell our stories, that's
right.
That's really going to be what scores us those victories.
Yep. Listen, I got our good friend Shelley Wright to come out of her last closet. She endorsed President Obama on the show here a week or so ago. She always said she's nonpartisan. She doesn't believe in parties, and you know. But you know, you're right. We're in the civil rights battle of our generation, and it's all hands on deck.
Absolutely.
Guys, thank you so much, Paul Katami, Jeff Zarrillo, the plaintiffs in the Prop 8 case, and say give Daddy a big kiss for me, will you?
Will do. Always nice to talk to you.
All right, bye, guys. Thank you. There they go. Aw, my daddy's been gone since 1983. That made me cry and miss my daddy.
Aw.
Okay, 17, daddy. Who's a daddy's girl? I am. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Get it, Hal. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free.
You make Wednesdays fun, Hal.
Yay! Do it. Do the Prince. Oh. 1-800-STEP-12. It's like stepping on a teacup poodle. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Yeah, he's about the size of a teacup poodle.
Yeah, right. Precious. But if that teacup poodle was filled with R&B goodness.
Yes.
And amazing
and
skill.
And could play guitar.
Of 27 different instruments or something nonsensical. I swear to God, I just want to see somebody chuck a banjo at him, because A, you know he can play it, and that would just be amazing to see. He would never have call or cause to play a banjo, but I guarantee he can do it just to say he did.
Play Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Let's finish up Right Wing World. Steve Ducey and a guest on Fox and Friends.
You know, to say that Bush is responsible for the recession and for all of our ills is patently ridiculous.
No.
It is, but we've heard a lot of it.
Yes, from the majority of American voters who believe it's true.
Well, and I
think... provably so.
I think from Bernanke and Bush. I think, like, you watch the news conferences of the last 3 months, we had no idea. We thought, we were helping, and things are falling apart.
Flutter? Bill O'Reilly and Monica Crowley on the president's parents.
You say his parents were communists. The president's parents were communists. How do you know that?
Well, both of his parents are on record as being sympathetic to the communist cause.
But the mother was a different story. She was a hippie, right?
She was a hippie, but she attended a communist church. She surrounded herself with
a communist church. What church was that?
It was literally called the Little Red Church.
Oh,
you idiot.
So, wow.
Communist or atheist, you dumb word I can't say that on the radio.
He's a Muslim socialist communist.
Oh, my God.
Now they're just making the case that he's intellectually capable of actually juggling totally conflicting ideas without being, like snapped shut. Because if you're capable of in your brain housing communist ideals and Christianity and making them work together and not seem crazy to everyone around you, there might be some level of skill there.
And we close with the mayor of Realville, as he calls himself, Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Obama's campaign wants to turn Mitt Romney into the candidate of old straight white men.
Check.
Well,
so does that mean you should vote for Obama because he's a young black gay man?
Again, see what
where's
he did
the
there?
Tolerance? Where's the compassion? Where's the openness? Where is the understanding?
Oh, that's cute with a lisp there. A little lisp there.
Why don't you tell us about your adventures in the Dominican Republic, Rush?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Apparently the president is a girly man because he throws like a girl. And who better to judge athletic skill than Rush Limbaugh?
And Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, back in the real Realville, Obama leads in poll as voters view Romney as out of touch. Barack Obama has opened a significant lead over Mitt Romney in a Bloomberg national poll. 53-40 in this poll.
I couldn't be more in touch with people and trees and chicken and noodles.
Objects, various objects.
And
noodles,
people.
Chicken.
And I just like it here.
Things.
Wherever I am, I like it. And if I've never been here before, I can't wait to come back.
And whatever
and if I don't
said,
know where I am.
Whatever I said, I stand by it.
I said something, I'm sure. At some point we spoke, and there was noises coming out of my face.
I love the lakes. They're very tall.
Survey shows the governor has yet to repair the damage done to his image during the Republican primary. Do you think? 55% view him as more out of touch with average men. Americans. Here's my favorite poll question. Only 31% of likely voters say they want to sit next to Romney on a long airplane flight.
Yeah.
Compared with 57% who prefer Obama as a seatmate. Yeah, it would be the scene from Airplane.
Oh.
Just feet swinging. Oh, God. Yeah. Mittens, really?
Gasoline.
Seriously?
Pouring on yourself.
Yeah, just, oh, God. Really? More just American catchphrases patched together for how long is this flight?
This is the time that counts upon America, and for us to have a strong military.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down.
And have a strong economy and strong families.
Of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the
earth. We're going to have to have a president who understands the values and the principles that made America strong.
When the early settlers first landed on the barren shores of Massachusetts, did they know how to shoot Indians? No. They had to learn how to shoot Indians.
I do. I will. We will restore America's greatness.
We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bush.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
And a thousand points of light.
America's greatest days are ahead. We're the shining city on a hill.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
Mitt's hope voice is extremely lame. Where he, you know, he tries that rhetorical. He has that rhetorical flourish thing that he learned in like a class.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. This is the America you believe in, isn't it? Isn't that what
this
am I supposed
is
to
say? America.
Oh,
the place.
Awesome.
You know who's
the hills are shining.
Go whatever team you guys like.
The trees are the right.
You know who's
going
to save America? Roseanne Smith.
And she's with
Independent voter, please and thank you, from Columbus, Ohio. He said of Obama, on the economy, he was basically handed a sick drug baby and expected to make a genius out of it overnight.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Thank you, Roseanne.
Okay.
Well, the vast majority of American voters agree with
Barack Obama actually thinks that more policemen, firefighters, and teachers are a good idea.
Mm. Yes.
Are you
Barack Obama is as out of touch with ordinary Americans
as people who generally have multiple limbs would think in this earth plane existence, right?
Amy
noodle.
Amy in Missouri.
Lakes.
Hi,
trees.
Amy.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about what President Obama is facing with these Republican governors. My company just laid off 30% or about 500 employees beginning of this year. And then now they're putting in $300 million to their corporate office in Indianapolis and saying that they're growing the private sector for 100 people in 5 years. And Governor Mitch Daniels was at the press conference, and I'm like, how can you say you're growing our business,
right,
100 people in 5 years when you just laid off about 500 people in the beginning of the year?
They aren't the important people.
Thank you. Exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Jim McDermott, our Chuckley congressman friend, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You represent Earth's best, then.
By the way, Hal, Snowy in Michigan has another idea what Mitt Romney is like. Snowy, you're on with Hal. Go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
The sci-fi, fantasy, Monty Python, truck driving geek of the show.
Hey,
right on.
I suddenly realized what Mitt reminds me of. You guys remember the old Star Trek episode when they were on the planet with Mudd and his android? And every time he'd say something confusing, he would lock up, illogical.
Right.
He's a Star Trek android. All right. Thank you. All right.
Illogical. Well, he's also illogical. Bizarro Al Gore. He looks like the Bizarro world version of Al Gore, you know?
All right. Hey, more happy clappy news. President Obama holds an 8-point lead over Mitt Romney in the state of Washington.
Hooray!
49-41. You know why? Because the state of Washington is awesome.
This is true.
We sold out one Seattle show, Sexy Liberal. The other one on its way to sell out, and not till September 29th, ladies and gentlemen. Why is Washington so awesome? Because Representative Jim McDermott is from there, who joins us now. You see what I did there? Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I am good. You're, as you know, my favorite.
There you go.
because you're so chuckly. Now, Representative, talk to me about, we've talked so many times about health care, but it is interesting, all the politicking going on ahead of this already. Whenever this decision comes down, we don't know. I love your colleague, Eric Cantor, has already said, if the Supreme Court leaves any of health care intact, we're going to take a bill to the floor that calls for the total repeal of Obamacare. I mean, just forever helpful, aren't they?
Well, Mr. Cantor still hasn't figured out that the American people want something done about the cost of their health care, and they want access to health care so that they're never in danger of being bankrupted. And I think that the Republicans continue to swim the wrong way. They say in the rivers in Washington that a salmon that swims with the tide is dead, and they are dead. They're not swimming upstream trying to fix this thing. They are just saying, well, let's get rid of it, and hoping the court will do it for them.
That is such an awesome Pike Place analogy.
Yeah. only a dead salmon swims downstream.
Thank you. Right. Now, Eric Cantor said,
think of myself as a salmon that's swimming in alternate directions for America.
So he asked why, he's going to immediately do this if the law is upheld. He said, so we can start over and tell the American people we're on your side. We care about your health care. Uh-huh. We want quality care and affordable prices for men. I mean, this is exactly what the president affordable care does. I mean, it kills me, Representative. I was listening to some, they had this right-winger conference recently, I forget, and they literally said something like, well, you know, we realize the status quo isn't working. We want the Supreme Court to strike it down, but then we want, affordable health care where there's, people have whatever he said sounded exactly like a mandate. It's like, yes, that's exactly what we just passed. I mean, it's frustrating.
The reason we need the mandate, to be very serious here, is that if you don't have a mandate and don't have everybody in, then some people are free riders. They're riding along, and when they get sick, they're taken care of, and the rest of us pay for it in the most expensive way possible. That is in the emergency room when there's a catastrophe. So it makes much better sense to have everybody in and have preventive care and prevent things than to wait and deal with the huge expense. Blood pressure, for instance, if you deal with that, you can prevent strokes. Well, what we do now is we take care of the strokes in the emergency room. That's the most expensive way to do it. And that's why the mandate is important from not only a financial standpoint, but also in a healthcare standpoint.
We had your colleague, Representative Andrews, on yesterday. I thought, the way he explained it is exactly why you realize this started as a conservative idea. It was Mitt Romney's idea in Massachusetts. It came from the Heritage Foundation. It was in Bob Dole's plan. He said, say the guy next door is a successful young, internet entrepreneur, decides, he's healthy, doesn't need insurance, buys a motorcycle instead, gets in an accident. Who should pay for that? He goes to the emergency room. Where it just doesn't make any sense to me how this does seem to me like it should be a conservative idea, personal responsibility, doesn't it?
It really is not about the idea. It's about whether President Obama gets credit.
Yeah.
They didn't want him to have credit. And if he had said the sun came up in the east, they would have opposed it because they didn't want him to get any credit for noticing the sun came up in the east. They simply were not going to give on anything in this bill. In fact, people like their kids being covered age 26. They like the fact that there's guaranteed issue. They like there's community rating. They like all the things that are going in now. And if this bill's repealed, today, tomorrow, next week, all those things will go away. And so the Republicans are now worried, and the insurance companies are worried, about what do they do next if the Supreme Court actually does take it away. I think, I make my prediction, 6-3, it'll be upheld.
Do you really? Yeah, I believe echoes Nancy Pelosi has said the same thing, hasn't she?
I don't know. I went over and watched
the oral arguments on the individual mandate. And I watched two guys. I watched Kennedy and I watched John Roberts. And they were asking hard questions and trying to figure out how they were going to work their way around this issue, because they know it's central to a conservative plan for covering everybody in this country. Mitt Romney put it in Massachusetts. Now he walks away from it and acts like the devil made him do it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what his explanation is.
Yeah.
But it's clear that there is a lot of concern on the court what will happen if they wipe it out.
Well, and it's been the same on every issue. That, as you say, the president's for it, they're against it. I wanted to get your take on the president's move on immigration, because I think it showed real leadership. It's the right thing to do. And once again, do they think we don't get history that it was all Republicans, you know, blocking immigration reform?
Well, you know, I, on that issue, I had a funny experience this morning with one of my colleagues who is, he's Puerto Rican, and he went to a group of these activists, or young activists, who are in this group that was affected by the president, and he spoke to them in Spanish, and the coordinator came up and said, "Hey, speak in English, because they don't understand Spanish. That's the problem. We're sending them back to a place they don't know anything about." So what the president did made absolute sense. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans, the headline in the paper here is GOP has no message on the Dream Act.
Yeah.
They are stuck.
Yeah.
And he nailed them to the wall. It was a beautiful stroke.
Oh, what, particularly because Mitt Romney absolutely ran hardest to the right on immigration during the primary. And you can't get away from that. When you're on tape, how many times saying, "I absolutely would veto the Dream Act. You know, I want to make their life so bad they'll self-deport." I mean, you can't. It's hard to run away from that rhetoric now, isn't it?
Yep. I don't think he can. And I think the die is cast with anybody who is here in this country as an immigrant, whoever came here as an immigrant. They recognize that the Republicans do not like them, do not care, and would send them all back, probably all the way back to the Mayflower if they could. There'd be a lot of us who'd go in that sweep. But they clearly are not responding to what's going on in this country, and the people know it.
Well,
that's why you get that number you quoted of the president being 8 points up on Romney. That's because the people see through them.
Yep. Yeah, and that was just in your state, in Washington, and the Bloomberg today, he's up 13. So, you know, we'll see. I think the media is more interested in trying to make this seem like a horse race. I mean, it literally, I feel like they just don't report good news for the president as much as they try to. Just yesterday, I think there were all these stories about, the Obama campaign's in disarray. You know?
That all came from Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is important that the president do very well, because he's going to bring back in a Congress, and he's going to bring in some Democratic governors like Jay Inslee in the state of Washington, because as he sweeps and people say, no, these Republicans are crazy. We don't want more of that. We had that. And so I think they're going to support the president, and that will sweep in the Congress that then can do the things behind him that are necessary.
Yep, as I've said it over and over, Representative Jim McDermott, our personal favorite from the great state of Washington, thanks so much, Congressman.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Yeah,
back. All right.
The president would say the sun rises in the east. You know what else comes from the east? Communism.
Yes.
Eric Bollert just tweeted a really, really, really good point.
Yes.
This Bloomberg poll was among the first to survey likely voters,
yes,
not just registered
That's
voters.
Very important.
Likely voters is a much more realistic view of what's going
to
happen.
Uh-huh. Points to the lack of excitement about Romney,
right,
is a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how motivated
Obama
supporters are.
So this is an exciting poll.
Yeah.
I love this. I don't know why.
Because that's not going to change, by the way. He's not going to get more exciting.
That's not what Newt Gingrich thinks. Newt Gingrich said, if he stays on the offense, Obama could lose by a surprising margin.
Mm, yeah, that would be surprising.
Mm, yes.
He stays on the offense?
He also said, we're in a situation where if you're really rich, you have an enormous, I think, unfair advantage. What? Oh, he's whining about Mitt Romney having more money in the pile. Citizens United, wham.
Call wham.
He attributed his own loss to Romney's overwhelming financial advantage. He said, in the end, he had, I think, 16 billionaires, and we had one.
Oh.
I said, Sheldon!
Sheldon? What are you doing, Sheldon?
As for I wonder how Sheldon feels about the non-kosher...
The Hebrew National Hot Dog.
The Hebrew National Hot Dog scandal.
Oh,
all right. By the way, as for animals, Gingrich explained his love for zoos and why he likes elephants so much. Because
it's so weird.
Elephants are among my favorites, partly because I'm a Republican and partly because I'm big. Elephants make me feel like I'm the right size.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he has a little husky boy complex like you do.
I know, like me do.
That's
like
so
I do.
Precious. You're just the right size.
Oh, yeah. I shopped in the husky section of Sears when I was a child.
No, but that I know. I'm talking about the whole, I'm just still baffled by the mitt nonsense. The mitt sense.
Without sense.
Without
Don't
sense.
Worry. Mitt thinks you're just the right size now. That's all right, little husky boy.
Without sense.
Hey.
It's great to be here. Right. It's great to be here around Chris LaVoy. He's the perfect. He's very Chris LaVoy. I like all the Chris LaVoys I've run into.
I like Chris.
I feel very good about Chris LaVoy. We're going to do what's right for Chris LaVoy in America, and America's Chris LaVoy is going to do very Chris LaVoy.
Exactly. Buried in American.
Thank you, Mitt. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Stereo Mitts.
These are pancakes.
Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That happened, and we all let it happen.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi. Steffi.
I was just making Jim Moore look at somebody sent a video. Their baby goat's riding backwards on a Great Pyrenees. Oh, he's so handsome and romantic and patient. Great Pyrenees are the Hal Sparks of the dog world. Just so handsome and romantic. Yeah. All right.
And all that white fur.
What? Uh-huh. All right. And sexy and liberal. And so is John Fugelsang. Oh, no. We're crossing the sexy streams. Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Good morning, Chip. Hiya. Greetings from San Francisco. Hey, Al.
How goes it in Granholm Central?
Not too bad, except Julian Assange keeps asking to crash at my place, which is a bit bad.
Awkward. I hate that.
Yeah. No, it's going really well. We had your boyfriend Van Jones on last night, the man who can turn you. It was
Sweet.
Very exciting.
Okay.
And
awesome.
Tonight, we're continuing our series on LGBT candidates running for the U.S. Congress. Your other boyfriend, Dylan Grayson, is going to join us on the show tonight.
Wow. Sweet, part two.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Had a fun with him in Boston last week. And then a friend of mine, Ted Alexandro.
It's nice to know you have a social
Letterman.
Life.
Yeah, right? Ted Alexandro is a comic who's done Letterman many times, and he was he's a New York stand-up, and he was arrested on a misdemeanor criminal trespassing charge for Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, because, you know, if we enforced our banking regulations as much as we enjoy our New York Park zoning laws, we wouldn't have to have an Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
So he'll be joining us then.
Fabulous. I hope you're covering this story. That guy was caught masturbating with a teddy bear again.
Oh,
again?
No.
For the fourth time. I like to do stories about people with worse love lives than me.
I don't think the teddy bear was a participant.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Charles Marshall was arrested for the fourth time in 2 years. He's been charged with public indecency, disorderly conduct with a teddy bear.
On a teddy bear.
Yes.
Or near a teddy bear. The teddy bear was not a willing participant in the process.
Are you sure it wasn't willing, Al? What about love, people? What about love?
Did you see what it was wearing?
Did you see the teddy bear was wearing?
It was asking for it, right? It's just you know what it is? It's probably the guy's being paid by Seth MacFarlane to help promote Ted.
Yes.
The new Mark Wahlberg movie.
Yes.
It's so slick. Yes, things are getting so viral these days.
That's a teaser molestation of a teddy bear.
Totally.
All right, and you got to cover this one. Mitch McConnell, Hal, says the tax code benefits the poor and needs to be changed. That's the real problem.
Yes.
Yes.
How can you tell what he's saying?
He says the U.S. Tax system seriously is unfair to the wealthiest Americans. Really?
Wow.
They've had it tough for a long time.
Yeah. Suffered and suffered.
Yeah. Oh, here's a fun fact for you. Almost 100,000 millionaires in the U.S. pay a lower effective tax rate than millions of families earning less than $100,000 a year.
What?
Yeah. An April CNN poll found 72% of Americans, including 70% of independents, favored the Buffett rule. That would change all that.
Well, when you're a Republican, it is a big concern about the future that poor people get benefits and all these things because you're planning on making more of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. They have a plan to make more poor people, so they've got to look at the
cost. Investing in They invest in poor people and gated communities.
Yes, poor people, yeah, per capita.
Hey, by the way, did you see this Adele song? Woke a girl from a coma.
I know.
This could solve all our health care problems. Adele may be the answer. Uh-huh. If Obamacare gets struck down at the Supreme Court. Adele Care. Right?
Wow.
I had a neighbor keep me awake the same way.
Really?
Playing Adele.
You wished you were in a coma.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing because Kesha songs make people request comas.
Yeah. Oh, now, John Louise Bugle sang. I don't know that one, Rolling in the Deep. Am I crazy?
We could have had it all.
Song, Rolling in the
Rolling
Deep?
In the Deep?
Oh.
Have you been kept away from radio?
You have not heard that song?
A mother was getting ready to say goodbye to her comatose daughter.
Rolling in the Deep.
Not that.
They played her hit song, Rolling in the Deep, came on the radio. The 7-year-old suddenly began smiling. She had suffered a hemorrhage in mid-April, had been in a coma since. 2 days later, Charlotte was speaking. 2 months later, back in school.
Wow. All right.
See? Adele wanted nothing but the best for her.
The healing power of music.
Adele's music, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe that's, part of Obamacare. They want to play sinful, rockish music. In hospitals, this is their fix. We want a long-term solution. By long-term, I mean wait a long time for us to come up with a solution.
All right, John, and speaking of things that cause people to request comas, reality shows, including Todd Palin, he will appear on the Stars Earn Stripes. It's a new reality show hosted by General Wesley Clark.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I succeed from watching it that night.
Yes. It'll feature celebrities competing in tough military training exercises. This is as his daughter is starting her own reality show
right.
in Bristol on, what do you call it, the Life's a Trip.
Twig.
Yeah. That's right. Everyone who supported Sarah Palin gets to defend these shows. It's going to be beautiful.
What was hers? Oh, Sarah Palin's Alaska, if you recall.
Yes.
Where she used her kids as bear bait. That was
That was a great show, actually. I did watch that show, and it really was the most beautiful show about the most beautiful state anybody ever got bored of governing.
Exactly. Oh, and here's, I know, because you're in San Francisco, so you're missing all the Kardashian news here in L.A.
Yes, it's horrible.
She says her marriage to Chris Humphries not for ratings, John. Don't be cynical. We have an amazing fan base that watches the show. We don't do anything for ratings.
Uh-huh. No, they did it for love, a very brief, transient love.
Yes. That's why they call it reality television, John. It's all real.
Real. Mm-hmm. You know, reality TV producers don't call it reality TV. They call it docu-soaps.
That's right.
Because it is written and rigged.
Yep.
You know what helps a marriage? A reality show. Apparently, John Travolta reality show in the works for Oprah's network.
Yes.
What?
That's the rumor. Well, he looked very tense last time I saw him. He looked like he could use a massage.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Preston. Kelly Preston reportedly thinking, she realized bringing cameras into their home might be a perfect way to show that she and John are a real husband and wife in a tight-knit, loving family.
And he just sometimes gets in his plane and goes away for days at a time.
What's the point of having a private plane and pilot?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes your husband goes away on a fishing trip and never opens the tackle box. It's Scientology.
Just going for some niacin supplements. I'll be back in 6 weeks.
I wish I could quit that show. I really do.
Yeah.
All right, and John, you're not in New York or L.A., so you're missing all the news, the celebrity news, and that is Lindsay Lohan went clubbing until 1 a.m. after being treated for exhaustion the day before, and Alec Baldwin punched another photographer. So that's all you need to know on the...
I can't wait to see Lindsay Lohan's Lifetime movie where Elizabeth Taylor wears the ankle monitoring bracelet the entire time.
John, have you seen this Mark Ruffalo and Tom Morello Robin Hood tax plan thing?
Yeah, it's fantastic. We're trying to book him on the Granholm show this week.
It's genius. It's
brilliant.
What is it? 0.5 cents off of every $100 worth of trades, in these. And it will make a huge difference in how much you're taking. It won't affect Wall Street at all, and that's why they're trying to stop it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When is the war room on, John? When is the war room on?
The war room is on at 9 p.m. Eastern every night, right after a Viewpoint with Governor Spitzer, which I'll be filling in on next week.
John Fugelsang filling in all this week on Current TV, HalSparks.com. He's playing with his band, Zero One.
On Monday at the Viper Room here in Los Angeles and in Vegas on Thursday.
There, man.
And you can see the three of us in Sexy Liberal. Go to SexyLiberal.com for all the upcoming dates. Love you, John.
At
Love you, Hal.
Pantages.
Bye.
Cheers, John. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.